Thank you for tuning in. Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God. This Bible study program is heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We talk about important Bible subjects, important Bible questions that you might have. We'll entertain your comments if you want to go to the teaching website at markjward.com. Scroll down to that which is called the questions. Put in the information and send it to me. I'll be happy to consider it and answer your questions on the air as time permits. Also, if you have comments, leave them there. If you click on the antique radio, just click on it. If you hover over it or if you have a phone, just tap on that antique radio and you'll see past episodes of this program if you'd like to go back and study them, as I leave the title there as well as the date that they were on the air. Sometimes we who teach make mistakes and we want to correct them as we can. I inadvertently referred to the fact that there might be some red letters of words of Christ specifically in Revelation 21 and 22. And as I looked later, it is the case that they're only in chapter 22 of those two chapters, not chapter 21 and 22. They're found elsewhere as we're studying the seven churches of Asia Minor that Jesus, through John, inspired of God, wrote the book of Revelation. In chapters 2 and 3 specifically is where we're going to be studying today, Lord willing. Having looked at a couple of the congregations there, but we want to mention another good Bible passage as we've been talking this week, and we'll bring this part of the series to a close, even though we'll continue to talk from time to time about the fact that the Bible is our rule of faith and practice. The Bible is God's written revelation of what He wants us to know about so many questions, specifically to a law to follow. Yes, we have to have law or we can't have sin, for sin is a transgression of law. And since the Bible says that Christians sin, then there must be a law that we're amenable to. It's the law of Christ, and it's a law full of grace and mercy and truth, but at the same time, it's a law nonetheless, and when we transgress it, we sin. We need forgiveness with the blood of Jesus Christ properly applied. In 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter in verse 13, speaking with regard to a standard, a rule that we should follow in our lives as individuals and churches, congregations, local congregations should be following. It's the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9. It's the gospel of Christ. But here we see a really good text that I would like to read to you. Again, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So, red letters are great if you have a red letter edition because they tell us the words that Jesus said. But don't you dare think that we're not to pay attention to the words that are in black ink in Matthew through Revelation, specifically those that would be pertinent to the new covenant. Because as Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica on this occasion, as we know it as 1 Thessalonians, he said, we're so thankful that you did what was right. He commends them. Because you accepted the words that we gave you as they really are in truth the words of God. Because other passages teach, holy men of God spake or wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We need to respect the Bible and the words in the Bible because of this. And yes, it is our standard, our rule, a closed canon, not a loose leaf binder now, to take things out and put things in that is good until Jesus comes again. And we have the judgment day, and the righteous go to the good place forever, and the bad will go and depart unto everlasting punishment. Let's go back to Revelation, the second chapter, and continue with our study of commendations and rebuke for the good. The only thing that God does for us in His Word is for our good. A good parent only is doing that which is good for the children. The children don't recognize that in their immature state and even resent correction or reproof or rules or eating the vegetables and not candy all the time. But we need to realize, even as adults, we are children, potentially, of God if we have obeyed Christ and come to Him. And we don't need to be stubborn children and have a stubborn will. We need to do, as Jesus did, as our perfect example when He came to earth to die on the cross, not my will, but thy will. Let's remove our own will and submit to the will of God. In Revelation 2, we have a message to the church at Thyatira in verse 18. We'd like to pick up there. The Bible says, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write. Right. Now, consider this. These are individual Christians, but they are working and worshiping together in a local congregation, and Christ, through John, is writing instruction that is needful to them at a particular time in the history of that church. The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame and His feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds and your love, and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. Sounds like they're growing in a proper direction. That's commendation, isn't it? Verse 20, but I have this against you. Okay, here comes the rebuke. It's medicine, it's corrective, it's only for the good of the congregation. After all, it's coming from Jesus Christ our Lord. And we should take any other words of the New Testament to be like we read in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 13. Not as the mere words of men, but as it is really the Word of God. Verse 20, but I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am He who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. This is one of the reasons why I named the program Pleasing God, because it reminds me every day when I wake up, my job should be pleasing God. So if I take that mantra as an individual or the local church where I work in worship and labor, and when I go into a store, or when I go buy gas, or when I see people on the street, if I'm acting like God wants me to act to please Him, then I'm living according to the pattern of His Word. The rule of God's law is my standard, because guess what? Whether I do or not, I've got free will. You do too. But Jesus says He's going to reckon with people according to their deeds. Not that we can meritoriously ever merit eternal salvation, but there's this matter of faithfulness and unfaithfulness, and it makes a difference with regard to heaven and hell. Some like to talk about, no, you'll lose some of your glory, you'll lose some of this, but you won't be lost if you do wrong. That's false doctrine. Don't believe it. It encourages, actually, people to go ahead and sin, just saying, well, I'll lose a little of my glory today. I'll just steal a little bit. No, that is not what the Word of God says. Read Revelation 21:8 and other passages. Verse 24, but I say to you, the rest who are at Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan. See, they're not participating with Jezebel, and they're not believing the doctrine that's false, that's being taught and followed. As they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, does it sound like Jesus wants people in the church? These are Christians now. These are not pseudo-Christians. These are real Christians. To do what's right, and that it matters if they do something that's wrong, like follow after Jezebel, or after a false doctrine, in the case of another congregation, the Nicolaitans? How about the message to Sardis, moving over to chapter 3 now? To the angel of the church at Sardis write, "He who has the seven spirits of God, and the seven spirits, or seven stars, says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, notice, but you are dead." So here's a church that on the face may have done some wonderful things in the past, and they put it on cruise control, or maybe they've just parked the car, so to speak, and they think they're okay. No, God wants us ever loving, ever growing, ever working in the vineyard of the Lord. Not for meritorious purposes, but because He wants His children to bear fruit and bring forth more fruit and more fruit and more fruit, and to teach other people to come to Christ. These people are really dead, even though their reputation is something they are not. Jesus knows. "Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which are about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent." Good gospel preaching should be calling for congregations and people to repent. If you're worshiping somewhere and all you're hearing is, "Put a pillow under them, put a pillow under them, tickle their ears, we'll get more money that way. People say they leave happy all the time." Folks, we need to have our toes stepped on some of the time. Now, it's not just total rebuke. There needs to be commendation and encouragement. But if we're not asking people to repent of sin, teachers, we're not doing what God would have us do. "Therefore, if you do not wake up," Jesus says it, "I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I'll come to you." But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. "He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds." Verse 8. "Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and make them know that I have loved you, because you have kept the word of my perseverance. I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, so that no one will take your crown." This is talking about eternal life, and a Christian can lose their salvation. "He who overcomes, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. I'll write on him the name of my God, and the name in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God, in my new name. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." And then the message to the church at Laodicea, which is one of the most popular, that were not cold or hot, but were lukewarm. And because they were lukewarm, God would spit them or spew them out of his mouth, unless they repented. What do we need to repent of? In what state is the church where you go? Has the lampstand possibly been removed? Think about these things over the weekend. We look forward to studying with you again this coming Monday, Lord willing. Thank you and have a pleasant day.